It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms. I did. Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons, it was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know, I should tell you, I think I have. I don't have a cool nickname like you do. But I am known as Pieces and Stems on my number one fantasy site. Like, that is my username.
That means a lot. I don't.
Pieces and Stems.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Because, guys, in these things, I've had a few drafts since I've seen you last, and I saw you Saturday. they will often disguise, they try to disguise their identities.
Sure. Yeah.
So that you don't know.
Yeah.
If I do that, in theory, you don't know if I've taken like 25% Brock Bowers, and then maybe you'll somehow benefit from that, which I think is insane. I think you think all of this is insane, but I think that is insane.
Pretty
like
much,
I've never
yeah.
lied about who I am. Pieces and stems. If you see it, that's me. Hi. Pieces and stems.
Yeah.
All from that little useless little moment.
Do they use like hidden email addresses? I recently found out that you can, because I was just looking around on my iPad for, actually I was looking for an email that from a few years ago, like something tripped a wire. I'm like, oh, I think I remember hearing something about what, and then, how can I recover an email that I permanently, is there a way? And I'm just looking at my iPad and like, oh, the cloud. I never go to the cloud. I'm going to go to the cloud.
I don't even know what that is.
And I click on the cloud, and there's all these different categories that open up, and one of them is like hidden emails. I'm like, well, I'm looking for an email that it's not exactly hidden, but it's I can't find it. So to me, it's hidden. I click on that, and what it is a bunch of like shopping accounts that my wife has created using different, like Apple will hide the email for you and direct it then to your actual email account.
Why would you do that? So you can get like free first time user
just
deals?
So if it's something like, I don't know, Reddit or Craigslist where you don't want your actual email address involved for whatever reason, you can do it. But our list is all, it's stuff like, it's Craigslist, Reddit, Best Buy, Amazon. There's all these, like, huh, I didn't know you could do that.
Well, I feel like you're probably not, you used to talk about FanDuel. I feel like you're probably not supposed to use new email addresses to sort of get the first-time user stuff. I'm pretty sure they don't want you to do that.
Yeah.
But if you did, maybe that's a little version of the same thing.
I'll bet if you did that there, because you have to couple an email address to it, like an actual email address.
Okay.
And so I think they would find out that you're trying to game the system if you did that.
What happens, you would never, ever, ever be me. And I feel like I'm not even bragging in the slightest to say that. I would never do this. But there's one guy in fantasy who's notorious for this. And he probably spends more money than anybody else in the world on these drafts.
Okay, yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars, literally. And he's been very successful. He's sort of a notorious figure. And what what happens is some friend or even like somebody who, employee or somebody that, you know, is in coordination with him signs up. And then you look to see who's in this draft and they don't have the hallowed green star for their, you know, having won before, like they look like a nobody. And then you start the draft, or actually it's when the draft is over. Sometimes, oh, there he is again. Like it's always him. It just becomes, there's the green star, that's the guy. But it's always like a fake identity in the first place through probably some other person. And couldn't there just be countless, literally countless examples of that.
Yep.
Just, you know, a new email address, a different person, and like, there you go.
Yeah, I wonder how many limits there are. Like hypothetically, could I do what I'm pretty sure it's my wife, I don't think it's the kids, has done with some of these like shopping websites. Could I go in and create 10 different accounts there with a different scrambled email every
time? Why not 100?
Like, I think maybe that.
Why not 1,000?
Might depend on what kind of safeguards there are on these fantasy sites to try to.
Well, there are probably none.
Yeah, well, then you probably can get away with
it's
unlimited.
Not, it's not like you're stealing money. You're just
right.
trying to game your competitors. And, oh my God, I mean, just here I am, the one who's going to say this. Find something else to do.
Yeah.
Touch some grass, as Ian would say. Come on. How bad
is it? It's so funny how that was jarring to me to see that. You can do that? The machine is going to help you do that? The thing I'm holding in the palm of my hand is going to help me hide who I am from?
Pieces and stems. It's me.
It seems a little like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like the best idea.
I'm the problem. It's
overall,
me.
I mean, I get it practically for certain situations, but it seems like something you could really exploit.
Okay, well, now that that's cleared up.
A little tech talk for you here on the Mighty 550.
Coming at you.
Sorry.
The depth chart. Depth charts. Remember when those were like useful thing?
Yep.
Because now, like, it's got to be described as unofficial, mm-hmm. even though it's got like the team logo and everything. It's from the. It's not like Sal's doing it, so it's official enough.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have teams that are using OR.
Oh,
Jacksonville.
Is that right?
Jacksonville, Pittsburgh. I saw their starter or the backup could be just. I hate to start a week like this, but it's a shorter week, at least. It's just like. Really? You don't even have to use it. You've already beaten us down with how unofficial it is, and now you can't tell us who your starting running back is because it's OR. We don't know. The Bills did not use OR. At least you got to give them that. They did not use OR, and there are a couple of interesting things I think on the depth chart that we'll talk about. Kincaid is the starter. Knox is second.
Okay.
What are the odds that when they line up for their first offensive play on Sunday, Knox is not on the field? Starting backup. Sorry, no OR. He's the backup.
Yeah.
He's the unofficial official backup. Is he really not on the field for that first play? I mean, you want to spread him out? Everybody just go routes? What do you want to do? Is he really not on the field to start the game?
It is, I mean, it's really dependent on whether they want to come out with two tight ends or three. Like, I don't know. But, like, all sounds like, I mean, I think it's tracking toward Kincaid eating into Knox's time if he's continues to prove to be healthy and reliable. Like, if they can get teams to believe that they might actually run the ball with him on the field that I think would increase his snap load again, provided he's healthy.
Well, let me ask this question. Why would they do that?
They do what? Replace Knox with Kincaid?
Yes.
Because Kincaid's a way better passing weapon than Knox is.
So you think maybe, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. You think maybe the Bills' overall inclination here would be to put Kincaid in the more traditional tight end position
to
trick him.
Yeah, I think it's possible this year. I think it could be different. And if they line up with one tight end on the field to start the game on Sunday, I could see it being Kincaid.
Even week one? Wouldn't they want to find out first?
The matchup. See, the thing is,
the matchup.
You're asking a tough question because what are the chances Knox isn't on the field? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. Joe Brady probably knows. So I'll bet the coaching staff knows. Maybe they have a plan of how they want to start that game. But if they're starting with two tight ends, then he's absolutely on the field.
Well, sure.
I think. But if it's only one, I got to say, I don't know, but I would lean Kincaid.
I think it's two. I think you'd want, just for the, if this matters, kind of like the optics of it, to have them both play. We don't even know if like all the receivers are healthy necessarily, do we?
No, we still don't really.
So I think you have, I'd bet money it's two tight ends on the first play.
Me too, or even three.
Or even three.
Especially with with the matchup and how much trouble they had blocking Houston on passing plays anyway. You could have Hawes in the backfield to help with that.
Okay, well, it can't be one and only Knox because of this depth chart that tells us he's the backup.
Right.
We know how important this is.
Does it mean anything to you that Coleman, and this coincides with, it's the same as what has been out there on the Our Lad site since whenever the Bills first, during training camp, would have released the first version of their unofficial depth chart. Coleman was in a starting slot ahead of Palmer. Palmer is his direct backup. Coleman and DJ Moore are the starting outside receivers. On this new depth, I don't have it open here
because
for some reason it's not on the Bills site yet. Like, I know they tweeted it, and I saw it there earlier today, so I remember. And I also have the Our Lads one, and I think they match. But anyway, I went to the BuffaloBills.com team depth chart. It'll be posted later. Like, what? Okay, why are you?
Never go to that website.
Anyway, I very rarely do, but
there's
at a moment like this,
no reason to ever go to that website.
Rather than searching Twitter, which I'm currently locked out of on my desktop, I don't know. I thought I'll find it there, and I can't. So anyway,
but I got it.
That stood out to me right away this summer. After the offseason, you know, go all the way back to January if you want, with how Pegula sounded and how everything went. And we were sitting here like, I don't know, is he going to make it? Is he going to, did they trade him for spare parts? No, they got him listed as a starter. Yeah,
that's
Keon
right.
Coleman.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, I think it is.
Coleman over Palmer.
Yep.
I would not expect Palmer to be on the field on the first play.
If the depth chart is supposed to mean anything.
Yeah, but that's the question.
It's unofficial. Yeah, right.
Does it?
Probably not.
Well, Coleman, the light is still on, but it's flickering. It barely works. Like it's still there though. It's still he's still 23. Year three. Mm-hmm. No, you know, maybe there are new people listening because it's all about to start again. Just a reminder, no player on the Bills has caught more touchdown passes the last two seasons than Keon Coleman. And, you know, everybody's kind of done with him. Well, not everybody, but certainly like you just said is how it's sounded. And the Bills haven't even been able to sort of stay on message, to say the least, when it has come to Coleman, right? You've got the owner basically apologizing for the pick.
Right.
And then there's the new head coach like, oh, man, he's never going to be happier than having me. And like, okay, the owner's over here. The coach is over here. The GM's trying to navigate the middle. He's not dead. That's the bottom line on Coleman is he's not dead. He's still on the team, and he is the starter on this depth chart, which I think is interesting. If it's not just a joke. Because the team can't seem to figure out, NFL teams can't seem to figure out if they want it to be considered a joke. Right? We've got
Right.
You know, it's not official. There's certainly no obligation to play to it. If they wanted to start all their backups on Sunday, they could. I mean, there's nothing.
Right.
Like,
I don't know why, you would do that.
No.
Right. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
But
they can have one tight end on the field and have it be Jackson Hawes. They don't care. Kelecki Lott.
No, they don't care.
Right.
They might do that on purpose. Like, we're years, if not decades, past the point in time where they felt like they had any obligation to be honest. So why not just put it out there that these are our starters, and then here we go on Sunday, and they're not. Funny. You guys knew. We told you it was unofficial. Well, anyway, I'm a little bit more aroused by this than I really want to be.
The depth chart.
I mean, I'm just excited for the week. We've made it.
And you know, I wasn't in love with the idea of the opener, the traditional Super Bowl winner hosting the opener being on a Wednesday. But the fact that we just came back from a long weekend for Labor Day and it's already Tuesday means there's a game tomorrow is pretty cool. I'm just like ready to go. I get two games this week and then, of course, the whole weekend and all right.
Spoken like somebody that does not have to run 50 leagues worth of waivers tonight.
Yeah, I don't have to do
anything. Because of the early starts.
I don't have to do anything. I just got to open a bag of chips and turn the TV on. Hopefully I know what channel it's on.
Will it be in Spanish? Do we have the option of an English-speaking broadcast tomorrow? You and I are trying to watch Manchester United against Everton, yours versus mine, red versus blue. It's only in Spanish. That's the only way we could get it. was to watch. Fine. Good game.
Yeah, it was a great game.
I mean, even in Spanish, it
was
good.
All four goals were really high-quality goals. There was no, there's no like, you know, bad bounce type thing, really.
Two Everton goals, for sure, I would say.
I thought they were,
my goals were great. Yours were okay.
My go-ahead goal was, whatever, we don't need to quibble about
this. The theme of this season, again, and I think it increases in this direction with each year that's gone by, the way it's ended, is Super Bowl or bust. We had this from that one ranking that was out a week or two ago. Like, there were four teams on that ranking that were Super Bowl or bust. I mean, tell me what bust looks like.
Right.
And what it actually means. I think McDermott leaving was bust. Last year.
Yeah.
Because of that decision the Bills made, that would define bust.
Yeah.
We wanted to, even if maybe you make it. If they had made it and lost to Seattle, is that okay? Like, for him.
I mean.
But they lost it to Denver in the second round.
Right.
And did not win their division. Bust.
Right.
That was bust for him.
Considering what the expectations were, that equaled bust.
I don't know if that happens again. What do they do, the same thing?
I don't think they do anything if that happens again.
I mean, so what's bust?
I know we had this conversation. I don't remember how I felt about it at that time, but I'll bet it's pretty similar. Like, I think you get pretty flippant with the word bust. Because if they win 11 games and go out in the divisional round, is Joe Brady getting fired?
Come on.
I mean, what are we doing here? Is Terry Pavlovich going to go, oh, well, that's it then. The roster's not good enough. I have a general manager, president of football operations problem? No. So what if, my quarterback can't get it done? Let's try something. No. That's the most absurd of the two things I just said, or the three things I just said. Nothing happens. There's no bust. There is no bust for the Bills.
This year.
Yeah. I would say the same for the Ravens. Like they've had, you know, rockier years within the run that they've been on the same timeline as the Bills, with Lamar and Josh both being in the same draft.
Really, only for one reason: his injuries.
Yeah, right. But that said, I mean, there is a contract thing there, maybe, right? I don't know. Like, maybe they could move on him. I don't know. It's not always been super smooth.
No.
It feels like between definitely not
very
as
true.
Smooth as it appears to be between Josh Allen and the Bills.
Very true.
So that could be a bust button you press, but I still wouldn't predict it. I mean, you got one of the two or three best guys in the league. Even if you have some conflicts behind closed doors, I think you'd still try to find a way to keep that working. I don't think that really, really works.
Well, listen, Baltimore can be this too, but you just got to win one of these. I mean, like, we're in an era that really is the best in Bills history. I think Allen has quarterbacked the best teams the Bills have ever had. That's debatable versus the 90s, but it's at least close. And you haven't even made one of these games yet. And, like, increasingly it comes to define them, the losing, which, you know, it's not fair.
Right.
A lot of teams aren't subjected to the same level of scrutiny because they're not that good. But really, the falling short and the Ravens, I mean, yes, they're very similar. The losing in the AFC playoffs, which last year did not include games against the Chiefs or the Bengals, has come for either. The Ravens didn't even make it. Has come to kind of define the Bills. You'll know. I mean, you've probably already heard it in the last couple of years, or even more than that. When you get there, that's the conversation. Can they actually win one? Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably going to be more than ever this year, not just because it's one more year on the pile, but because of how they lost and who they lost to last year. I mean, Denver won 14 games. They weren't a slouch. But wasn't Mahomes.
But neither,
or even Jackson.
Neither were they an established behemoth in the conference.
No, and there were five turnovers. So it looks like you blew it.
They did.
And against Kansas City, they can get – people will more often apologize for them. Mm-hmm. I would, I mean, because of who you're playing. This wasn't Kansas City. So I think, really, if you're already sick of it, look out. because this year is very much.
Yep.
And, you know, we have New England, which adds to that, too. And New England kind of, you know, this is not always that respectable, but New England's year and their presence is more just like questions about whether the Bills' run is over. And, you know, it's probably not, but their division title run ended.
Ended, and we're that. Who's the first game? Like, if I'm already, well, I wasn't thinking about this walking in here today, but this conversation has landed me here. If somehow, like it's completely far-fetched.
3.5
If New England goes out to Seattle and wins, in you know, in the first game of the year in front of the whole country, we're, I think already there will be, panic is too strong, but like, I'm not super comfortable. Like, what? They just went out there. We watched the Super Bowl. They did not look up to it at all against that team. And here's a new game on a new day and a new season. And what they did? What? They went out to Seattle and won 31-24 What?
Very possible.
So if you get that, boy, Thursday, there's going to be a lot of angst, I think, already without the Bills even having gotten on the field yet.
I have the box score open from the Super Bowl. I don't remember why. Ian Harditz had a tweet about May and how his playoffs were not actually that bad. I'm just thinking like, dude, that was the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. That was garbage time. But okay. I called up that box score to check that. New England, they're both, your eyes might start bleeding looking at this this game. That's really why I can't really believe that they picked New England for this game. But Patriots in the Super Bowl. Punt, 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 punt. End of half. Punt, punt, punt. Fumble. Now we're into the fourth quarter. Touchdown, interception, interception, touchdown, end of game. Seattle. Field goal, punt, punt, field goal, punt, field goal, field goal, punt, punt, touchdown. A.J. Barner. Congrats. First touchdown of, that was the prop bet you needed. First touchdown of the Super Bowl. Seattle tight end, A.J. Barner. Punt, field goal, punt. I mean, they scored one touchdown in the game, Seattle. They were outgained in the game. Feels like, to me, I think of it like it was a blowout.
Me too.
But, you know, garbage time. Wasn't interesting at all. Got to run it back.
Right.
We got to have that. But it's, you know, we'll all watch it.
What was the final score of that game?
29-12
Okay.
29-13 29.
Yeah.
You don't see that a lot. 29-13 was the final score. Super Bowl 60.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yep. All right. Week one. So, we just found out. Ross Tucker today. That's cool.
Welcome back, Ross. All right.
Tuesdays at 4 is the slot now for Ross Tucker, mostly, normally. And we'll have Sal on, Sal Capaccio, coming up at 5 today. Got to talk about the Michigan nonsense. I'm already a little bit too agitated, and I want to not be like already off the deep end by the time we get to the Michigan thing. But I watched that. I couldn't, can't say I can't believe it, because I kind of, it's totally believievable.
Yeah.
What happened there? Just seems to happen constantly, this kind of thing. So we'll talk about that a little bit too. 803-0550, Super Bowl or bust. I don't even know what that means, but it seems like an easy one to sort of latch on to. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for joining us. This is WGR.